Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. All right. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to the podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Super appreciate you as always. Hope all's going well in your world right now. I got an episode here for you today, and I have an interview with one of our accelerator members. Her name is Caitlin Mitchell, and she is the CEO and she's the co-founder of EB Academics. And the reason I wanted to have Caitlin on to share this interview with you is this is a topic that so many people that I talk to can relate to. And my guess is that you're going to be able to relate to this too. Or you might be heading in this direction in your business. And I want to help you become aware of that because I went through this myself in my business. And that's this whole thing about asking and stepping back from your business and looking at, are you running your business? Are you the one running your business, or is the business running you? Because in Caitlin's case, the business was definitely running her. And it was really affecting her, the most important things in her life, her the relationships with her husband and her son and herself, right? And she, not only that, she was thinking about the business nonstop. She tells a story like, she wakes up in the middle of the night and she's thinking about it. And so I wanted to break this down here for you today because this is, again, this is something that's super, super common. What she wants to do and what she is doing much more of now is she wants to focus on being the leader and the CEO, right? While drastically cutting down her hours so that she can focus on these other more important things in her life. Because remember, we are building our business around our life, not the other way around. Okay. We want to be present for the most important things and relationships in our lives. Okay. So this is going to be a great interview here for you today. Okay. Now, before we dive into it, I got to do a quick little soapbox here. What is going on with Apple? All right. I am an Apple user. I love my MacBook. I've always used an iPhone. I waited forever for some reason to get an iPad, and I got an iPad Pro last year, and I was like, where have you been all my life? I use it all of the time. And you know, I've been talking about the whole iOS update and privacy and stuff like that. My friend, having been in this space for 2000, 21 years. I almost said 11, 21 years. I have been in the online advertising space, and I've seen so much over the 21 years. Here's what I'm seeing, my friend, when it comes to iOS and Apple and what they're talking about. Again, I love their products, but like internally as a business, man, like I am like, come on, right? And what I see happening is they are disguising control through privacy. Now, don't get me wrong. I am all for privacy, but this whole outward PR that they're like they're the leading force in privacy online. Come on. Here's what I see happening with Apple in the not so distant future, in the next few years. Apple is going to create their own ads product, my friend. You don't think they're collecting data when we're using their devices, you know, our Apple devices, right? I subscribe to Apple News. All I have to do, just as a quick example, is I see an article on there and I'm like, no, I don't want to see these types of articles. I click the thumbs down and it is curating content that they show me based on what I am saying, right? And so, yes, I am directing that, but you don't think that they're collecting that information and creating a profile around that? I mean, again, I've been doing this a long time and this is what I see happening. Again, I love Apple products, but it just, it's the reality that we live in, but I just wanted to share kind of my quick thoughts on this. Mark my words, I really do think it's $100 billion. I mean, I think that's what just but Facebook's revenue is from online advertising. You don't think that Apple wants a bigger piece of that? Yes, they do. So anyway, off my soapbox. Let's go. Without further ado, my friend, let's go dive in and hang out with Caitlin Mitchell. Caitlin, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm stoked to be here. It's a great day. It's beautiful in California.
So you're sitting at your kitchen table right now. I didn't know this, but before we hit record. So this is your office in your kitchen.
Yep. That's where I work. It's crazy. I was actually looking at it the other day. All I need is my computer and my planner. And that's how everything operates. It's nuts.
Wait, do you use a paper planner?
Yes.
Like old school planner?
Old school planner. I do. I love it. It's Michael Hyatt, full focus planner.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, we could do a whole episode about that because I'm fascinated by planners and stuff like that. So, well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, right? Teacher with you're writing things down, like old school. So we're going to be talking about team and the journey that you've been on with growing your team, some of the challenges, some of the mindset stuff, like all that stuff. But before we dive into any of that, let's have you introduce yourself. Who are you? Yeah. What's the business? Who do you serve? That sort of thing.
My name is Caitlin Mitchell. I'm the CEO and one of the co-founders of EB Academics. My business partner is Jessica. And we serve middle school English language arts teachers through our online professional development course, where we teach teachers how to teach writing, which is really fun. And then we also have a monthly membership called the EB Teachers Club, where we focus on all of the ELA standards for middle school English teachers.
Awesome. So a few launches a year, and you do have TPT resources, but it's a very small percentage of the overall.
Yeah. It's about 10% of our overall revenue.
Okay. I love it. And you've really grown, like you have an amazing business. The first conversation that we had when coming into Accelerator was like, I need to work less. I have to work less. Both you and Jessica have families and a lot going on. And, you know, you specifically were like, I got to work less. Yeah, we want to grow the business. We want to scale the business, but I can't give more in the way of hours, energy, all that sort of thing. What did that look like for you at that time? Like, how many hours were you doing? What were you going through from a mindset perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so interesting the way the business has evolved over the years and just how quickly we saw growth in 2020, that the business was really getting to a place where it was running my life. I was thinking about it all the time. I mean, if I wasn't actually working 40 hours a week, I was thinking about the business probably 60, 70 hours a week, you know, TMI, but wake up in the middle of the night to use the restroom and I'm thinking about our teachers at 2 a.m., you know? And so I just needed to get to a place where I had more help. I'm in charge of operations, finance, customer service, marketing, sales, the whole nine yards. And it just got to be too much. And when we came to you, I was to the point where I was just barely hanging on. You know, before we went into our first call, you don't know this. I mean, I had a conversation with myself. I was like, don't cry on the call with Rick because I'm so overwhelmed and so stressed out.
A lot of people do cry though on the first, at least within the first few calls. And it's like, it doesn't bother me one bit because I've been there. Like, I know what that frustration feels like. Mm-hmm. And so when you and Jessica created the business, like, what did you envision for like how many hours a week that you'd be working? Or was that even something that you were even thinking about that time?
Yeah, I mean, it really wasn't something that we were thinking about. You know, I left the classroom about 2 years ago. And at that time, I was working part-time teaching and then part-time on EB. And I was then probably working 60, 70 hours a week, focusing on two different things. And I got to a point where I was working too much and something had to give. And I wanted to put, you know, my whole heart into EB academics and serving teachers. And I didn't think about how much the being a business owner and being a CEO and being an entrepreneur would literally change the way that my life looks. You know, it has such a profound impact on my family, my relationships, my friendships, my time outside of work. It kind of changes you in a way when you have to step into that role.
Talk a little bit more about that, because this is something that's really key for so many people that a lot of people struggle with it. So what did that look like for you?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about it. I didn't put that hat on when I first left the classroom. Mm-hmm. And most recently in the past couple of months, you know, I would say in October, I got to a point where I was just like, I can't do this. I don't have the chops. I don't have the skills. I'm not capable, telling myself all of these things that aren't true.
Yeah.
I can't be a CEO. I should just sell my share in the company and leave and have somebody else take it to the place that I want it to go to. I can't do it. And it's just been such an evolution in the past. What is that? 7 months. That now I feel like if anybody can take the business to where we want it to go and the vision and the mission that we have for it, I am the person to do that as the CEO.
Yeah, I love that. And how was it affecting all those other things for you, the other aspects of your life?
Yeah, I mean, everything. You know, I'm doing bath time with my son and I'm checking my phone. I'm responding to customers' emails. I'm checking in with the team. I'm concerned about this other thing and I'm not there as a mom. I'm not present.
Yeah.
You know, my husband has even said things to me. He's like, you've just changed. Like, I feel like I'm talking to you. This was, you know, back in October, November. He says, I feel like I'm talking to you, but you're not there. You're not present. You're not listening to me. And it really affected all of my interpersonal relationships and the people that are close to me.
Yeah. Because you were doing, it was consuming you.
It was consuming me. Yeah.
What would be your, because you mentioned before, like, you have no doubt now that you're the CEO that can help take this business to where you guys want to get it to be going after your vision. What does that look like for you?
Well, I think what happened with it changing was when we started to hire more people and I was able to focus on being the leader and being a great boss and being, you know, a great CEO, as opposed to my mind being in other places. Worrying about refunds, worrying about purchase orders, worrying about Facebook ads, and worrying about all of the little intricacies, right, that go into a business. Because I was so focused on those like minutiae of the company, I wasn't able to focus on how do I grow as the CEO of this business. And since that has shifted, and I know we're going to talk about that, I'm now in a place where like I can read literature and I can read books and I can listen to more podcasts about what it means to be a great leader and a great leader of this team. And that's what I care about so much now, is how to lead my team in a positive way, that they love working for a company, that our customers love being a part of EB. It's just been a total mindset shift, getting out of that stuff and being able to move into this role more clearly.
So when you were in that place, if you will, that space 7 months ago, did you have a team at all? At that point?
Kind of. We did. We had a virtual assistant who has been with us full time since February of last year. So what is that, like 14 months or something? We had a customer experience manager who's wonderful, and a few other people like doing odd end things here and there. But it wasn't like I had full time or even part time employees who were coming to team meetings, who were buying into our vision, who were very clearly helping us row the boat in the same direction to move our company to where we wanted it to go. And now we do. And so I think that that was the difference, is even though we had some people who were working for us, it was a game changer once we hired a few more people. And once we really, like, these are employees, they're going to come on with us full time. We're going to, what is it? W-4 or W-2. I don't even know which one it is.
W-2, for
employees,
yeah.
Versus, yeah, contractors.
In the same
and
way.
Just like going all in and being a business, right? That this, yeah, is no longer like a, oh, we have an online, but you know what I mean? It was just, mm-hmm, a different mindset shift for me.
Did that scare you? Did that scare you? You were like, holy cow, we're going to have to spend some money in order to bring these types of roles into the business?
Interestingly enough, no. Nothing really ever scares me that much. I think things that scare me are like fear of conflict and stuff like that. I don't ever worry about the business failing. I just know in my bones it's not going to. But I also have a very clear, I know our finances, like nobody's business. I know where every single dollar goes. I know where, what we can afford, what we can't afford. I'm just really good with our finances. So I knew exactly what we could and couldn't do.
Love that.
Which is huge. Like, you have, yeah, to know your numbers.
Yeah. So when you looked at that, I mean, it's such a good realization, right? That you're like, you know what? We have people working for us, doing work for us, but they're not fully dedicated. I mean, they're good at what they're doing, but they're not like fully dedicated to the success of the business and helping us grow the business towards the vision that we have for the business. And so, all right, now let's shift that mindset a little bit to like bringing employees into the team and having them owning different things of the, mm-hmm, business. So, mm-hmm, once you made that realization, what were the first, you know, what were the first areas that you looked at in bringing people into?
Yeah, in terms of hiring.
Yeah.
So we hired someone for curriculum, right? That, because curriculum is obviously hugely important to what we do. So we do have a full-time person in our curriculum team. So that was one place where we're like, we want you to be full-time. She's a salaried employee, which is fantastic. I love that because, you know, you're able to offer your employees paid sick leave. You know, they have a lot more protections under you as an employee. I mean, I don't want to get into the legality of anything. Go talk, yeah, to a labor lawyer to make sure you're following all of the rules. But then in addition to that, we also hired a content director who's part-time, which was an area for marketing that I needed help with. You know, someone with the blog, the podcast, our email marketing, social media, Facebook, Instagram. I had to get that off of my plate because that was where I was getting stuck in like the minutiae of things that, mm-hmm, that I needed a lot of help with. And we did hire an integrator. And I can talk to you about that a little bit more because we had an interesting experience with that, that I think was a great lesson learned for us. But we hired an integrator full time. And then just a few other people, like I can't think of what her role is, but she helps in our Facebook group, our community manager.
Yeah.
That's the word, who's been wonderful. Like, that's been a huge help. So just the areas that are not the things that I excel at them, but they're not like my zone of genius. They're not where I should be spending my time. And same thing with Jessica, you know, with the people that we brought on to help support her in curriculum. She's so good at like the brilliant, great creative ideas, but then we needed someone to help her like implement those ideas. Yeah. Okay, let's write student directions and come up with all of that stuff. And the people who work for us who are on our team are amazing. You know, they're better at it than I could have been, than Jessica could have been. And it's just so cool to see that happen, that you're like, gosh, you're so much better than I am. You know, that's when you know that you've hired great people.
Yeah. And that's the whole idea of what we're trying to do, is hire somebody that's better than us in such and such area. And that can often necessitate kind of like an ego check, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no one can do it better than I can. And then you find this person, they're like, holy cow, they're doing better than I can. And it's like, wait, is there like, that can't happen, right? But that is the key. Like, that's the key, is like giving somebody or different people in your team ownership of, mm-hmm, whatever, you know, content or curriculum or whatever it is. And, you know, they own it. They're responsible for it. What was it like for you to, when you brought these people on, and I do want to get back to the integrator, you know, challenge. Because I know people are listening like, well, yeah, like, wait, go back to that. I want to hear about that. We will, my friend, we will. So tell me about like working with them from a, do you set out like scorecard or, you know, do they have numbers? Meaning like, you're responsible for this and this is how you're being quote unquote judged in your role.
Yeah. The foundation from which we operate is from Traction, from the Entrepreneur Operating System. And I know maybe a lot of listeners have read that book. And if you haven't and you were thinking about hiring a team, I would highly suggest it because it gives you like the bones of the structure of what you should be doing. And then I think you can make adjustments from there based on what you find works in your business and other ideas that you might want to bring into it. But we do have a company scorecard. Everyone has a number that they report on each week. I even look at it sometimes more granularly on a daily level. So I know our numbers very, very well. Like I could have told you on April 20th exactly what we were going to round out the month in terms of revenue, in terms of profit margins, all of that stuff. And that's because of the scorecard, right? We're following data all along. And in addition to that, everybody has quarterly rocks. And that's all a part of Traction as well. And it keeps our team and keeps us focused on what matters in terms of revenue generating activities, but also improving upon, you know, our employees' roles, what they can do better, what else they can bring to the team, what are they good at, what do they want to do. You know, we have our employees set their own rocks, and then I have a quarterly meeting with them when we do that. And we talk about the rocks together. They don't just like throw it on an Excel sheet and go from there.
Yeah.
And we check in with those rocks every single week. We look at our scorecard every single week and we just communicate often. So we always we always know what's going on in the business.
How do you all communicate? Like Slack. within the team? Slack.
Yes.
Almost to a detriment. Because there's just a lot going on. How do you guys manage that?
How do we manage Slack?
Yeah, I mean, the communication, and I think like where this question is coming from is like, we can often get caught up in conversations that we don't need to be in necessarily that takes us away from working on our zone or genius, as you mentioned. So like, have you guys experienced that? And if so, how have you guys handled that within Slack? If that's your main source of communication during the day, do like, you have scheduled times that you go into Slack, or is it open all the time, or how do you manage it?
Yeah, gotcha. Well, so two things to answer that. The first thing is we've empowered our employees, our team, to make decisions based off of our core values. You know, a lot of the times what was happening was, you know, they don't want to make a mistake. You know, they don't want to let us down. They don't want to disappoint us. And I think there's that kind of, not fear, but just like, you don't want to take that risk on their own. So they just want to double check, you know, that they're not going to disappoint us. And so we had to just let them know, I need you to make the decision based on our core values. And nine times out of 10, they made the right decision. And if they didn't, that 10% of the time, they're going to learn from it. It's going to be a great growth opportunity. So allowing them to really own their role by using the core values to dictate and help them decide what decision to make with a customer service email or with a Facebook post or what have you. So that's one thing that we've done. And the other thing that we've done is we've more clearly, with your help, actually defined our roles in the business. I think that that caused a lot of confusion for our team. Was with two of us, we both kind of have our hands in certain areas. And, you know, conversation might happen in Slack with Jessica and another team member that I didn't know about. And I kind of got maybe left out of that, or vice versa. I had a conversation with a team member that maybe Jessica should have known about. So with your help, we actually more clearly defined, like, I hate to call them this, but our silos, you know, like these are the areas that we're staying in.
Sure.
And then to have that horizontal communication, we're implementing next week, those quick stand-up meetings with certain parts of the team, you know, with our content team and our curriculum team, so that they both know what's happening in each areas of the business with our curriculum team and our customer support team. So that they know, right, that overlap or those quick conversations to be able to have. And that has helped cut down already on Slack this week alone, we've let them know, like, this is what we're doing. And I actually, when I let them know that at our team meeting on Monday, just how we're kind of adjusting things, I could see like the sigh of relief, like, okay, thank God.
You know? I think it's one of those things that we experience as a CEO of our business where, and I'm not saying this was the case, but we might be afraid to have a conversation. We might be afraid to rule something out. And for fear of how someone's going to react or how people in the team are going to react. And I experience this all the time with people that I'm helping. It's like, once they have that conversation, it's like the best scenario as a result of it. Because people are like, oh, thank you. Like, it's about time sort of thing. So you experienced that with your team and you kind of felt that collective, like, okay,
sigh of relief. Like, okay, great. This is a great plan. I'm glad we're doing this.
Nice. Just a quick side note, on our last call, you had your org chart on the screen and you had their, was it their high school pictures?
Well, a lot of our, yeah, sure.
Sorry. I love that. I saw that. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. So on our accountability chart, because, you know, we have people all over the country, we're all remote. We don't have an office where everyone comes in person.
Yeah.
So I wanted everyone to know what everybody looked like, where everyone lived. So yes, a lot of our team members are former teachers. So they have like their school picture.
Nice.
So everybody's kind of school picture is there with their name and the state that they live in.
That's amazing. I love it. It's a lot of fun, right? All right. Talk about the integrator. So this was a role that you, that we had discussed early on, like, all right, as far as one way to get out of working all the hours and working less while scaling the business, like you all have the size of business where an integrator can very much be helpful. And so let's talk about that. What happened and that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I feel like in essence, I've been the integrator in the business and kind of the visionary at the same time. You know, if we're like, okay, this is what we're going to do, 9 times out of 10, I'm the one who's like, okay, this is the plan. This is what we're doing. I figure out the technology, whatever, all the moving parts and put them together. And that's where I was getting overwhelmed. Like I really needed the help in with that integrator role. So we hired someone full time and we just did a bad job of onboarding them. What we did is we brought them in and she's great. And if we, I think, had set her up for success better, she would have excelled in the role. And we just gave her way too much, way too fast, and had way too high of expectations without clear communication of what we wanted her to do or the guidance that she needed in order to do those things successfully. I think she was with us for about 6 weeks and just was so, she felt so bad, you know, when she told us, she's like, I just can't. My life is a mess. Basically, she was how I was feeling, right, for the longest time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a great learning opportunity, albeit an expensive one, right? To hire and train and all that stuff with somebody and then have them not stay with your team is an expensive learning opportunity. But it was great because we've just hired 3 new people in different roles. We have a tech support person, a curriculum design assistant, and then I just hired an executive assistant for myself. And we have made that onboarding process so much better. We are doing a much better job of slowly relinquishing control, being more patient. You know, it was, we were like with the integrator, we were so relieved. Oh my gosh, I finally have help. Let me give you everything.
Yeah.
And no, who can handle that? No one can handle that. Yeah. You know, I had unrealistic expectations of what anybody would have been capable of.
So what have you done differently with these 3 new hires after that learning experience?
Yeah. So we made the onboarding process way more like step-by-step, you know, and longer between each thing that we're doing. So the first week and a half with our executive assistant, I've just had her meet with me every day. That's one thing I've done different is I've met with her every single day for half an hour, just getting to know her, teaching her more about the business. Giving her time to, you know, view our site and listen to our podcast, download resources, to even understand like, who is this company? Who are these people that, you know, I'm joining this team? I don't really maybe know much about them.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that we've done differently. And with our new executive assistant, in addition to my daily meetings with her, you know, I've really broken it down so much smaller of what I'm giving her at first. You know, it's like, okay, here's one small task that I want to make sure that you are like, I got it, Caitlin, I'm good to go before I give you anything else. And I think that that's been really helpful as well. Just smaller baby steps.
Just like cascading their training. It's like easy, simple baby step, then next level, next level, next level, and so on.
Exactly. Exactly.
One thing I love about you guys is like, you get a plan and you go do it, right? Like when we talked about, all right, hiring roles, like you're out actively recruiting within a matter of a couple of days. So where are you finding these 3 new hires? Where did you find them?
Yeah, they all came from our community. And I know some, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you might not necessarily, or I'm sorry, if you're an entrepreneur teaching other entrepreneurs, you might not necessarily want to use that same pool of people. But for us, our community are all teachers. And what's great is one of the hires actually is a member in our writing program and in our teacher club. And she believes in our vision. And, you know, that was one of my questions. I interviewed a handful of people for the tech support position, and her response to when I asked her, I said, how would you describe our company? Her response, I was like, you're the person. She got it. She knew our vision. She knew our mission. She knew exactly what we wanted to do. And she believed in what we were doing.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was so much more important. And I'm not, she's very well skilled and was very highly qualified for the role, but that matters more to me, really, as I'm looking at all these different people that we've hired and let go and all of, you know, have quit, whatever. The people who believe in our mission and who believe in our vision are the ones who are going to show up, who are going to be great team members, and who are going to stay with us, you know?
Yeah. And it makes sense, to Caitlin's point, for so many of us, we do need to be careful of looking at our own community, because for me, for example, I've had experience where I have reached out to my community and people just want to come in and, like, whatever, learn ads or learn from me or the team. And then they bolt because they're building their own business. They're like, cool, I'm out of here. I learned what I wanted to learn and I'm done. But in the teaching space, to your point, Caitlin, like, it's, you kind of have to know that space. It's a very different kind of space and you kind of have to get it. And, you know, and especially when it comes to, like, resources and what you're, you know, the membership and all that stuff, kind of have to know what's going on there and sort of get the why of things, if you will, that are going on.
Yeah. And I will say every single person on our team, I'm trying to think if there's anyone who doesn't fall within this category. Every single person on our team, except our virtual assistant, has worked at a school, either as a teacher or a secretary. And it's great. I mean, they believe in education, and it's just so wonderful to have them there helping other teachers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Where do you go from here? Where are things going as far as the team? I know collectively between you and Jessica, still trying to work less. So what does that look like going forward? And how does that look, you know, from a team perspective also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to need, in terms of team, and hiring other people. I mean, we've hired, what, 5 people in the past 6 months.
Yeah.
I don't really want to bring anyone else on right now, just in terms of looking at finances and payroll and all that stuff. Down the line, we are going to need someone else in curriculum, possibly 2 more people to support what we really want to do and, you know, building out more content and resources and assistance for our teachers. And then as our community grows, we're going to need more people in customer support.
Sure.
Absolutely. More people in customer support. And then our executive assistant, you know, my goal for her is that's a really high growth potential position for that role. Yeah.
Did you bring that person on part-time or?
Right now she's part-time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So as we start to wrap up here, you mentioned something that's really, really important that a lot of people have a hard time with. You said, yes, we know we need to add some roles to the team, but not right now, looking at the finances, looking at the payroll, et cetera. At what point do you make that decision? Meaning, like, okay, we're at a point now where, like, we need to add such and such role to the team from a financial perspective.
Sure. From a financial perspective, I'm always looking at our profit margins, right? Mm-hmm. I want to protect our profit margins as much as possible because that allows us to make those types of decisions. So if we're looking at a significantly lower profit margin than what our goal is overall for the company for the year, you know, Q1 is slow for us. Our profit margins are lower because our fixed costs are what they are, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have more revenue coming in, the fixed cost percentage in terms of profit margin changes, right? So that is, if we're not operating at our goal of the profit margin that I want to see, I don't feel super confident in hiring quite yet. And for us, it's just, I want to make sure that the business is healthy enough to be able to, you know, spend a lot of money on ads when we're launching our programs in the summer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to, like, dip into some sort of savings account or put money back. And, like, I want to have a healthy operating budget. So that is kind of the basis of my decision, is what is my profit margin goal for the company? Where are we? Mm-hmm. And if we're at that, then I feel more than comfortable making that type of a decision for hiring more. And then another thing that comes into play with that is how much am I working, right? It's not just finances. Yeah. It's like your time, right? Because time is, in my opinion, more valuable than money.
Absolutely.
Because it's a commodity you can't ever get more of, right?
Right?
You only get less of it as you get older.
Yeah.
And so I look at that too. You know, if I'm spending 40, 50 hours a week still working on something, hopefully that's not going to be the case here soon. But what other adjustments do I need to make? What other help do I need so that I can be a great mom, that I want to be a great wife, a great friend, et cetera.
Yeah. because otherwise, why are we doing what we're doing?
Exactly. And all of these goals, right? The financial goals, and something that you said that's so important, I think, for everybody to hear is like the financial goal that we put on ourselves. That's just an arbitrary number that we came up with.
Yeah.
Like if we're killing ourselves to get that done, why are we doing it?
Yeah.
You know, at the cost of what?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for being so transparent and open about all this. I think that I admire you guys so much. And one big reason why I want to have you on, number one, was to share what you guys are doing in the business, but also what you've gone through in working so much and other things in your life, suffering as a result of the amount that you're working and then the challenges in growing the team, et cetera, and where you got into now is so relatable for so many people. Like I've raising my hand right now, like I've been through that as well. And it goes back to what we just talked about. It's like, why are we doing what we're doing if this is the result or if this is affecting these things over here? So thank you so much for sharing all that with us. Really appreciate it. Where can people connect with you guys? What's the best places or where would you like people to go to connect with you?
Sure. So we're on Instagram at EB Academics is the best place to reach out. You can pop into our direct messages and say hi. I'm more than happy to respond if you guys have any questions. And if you are a middle school ELA teacher or you know a middle school ELA teacher, we actually have a book coming out on June 1st. If you go to ebacademics.com/book, you can check it out. It's a great, I'm really excited to bring that into the world.
I have a lot of teachers who listen to the show here. So guys, I'll link everything up that Caitlin just mentioned on the show notes for today's episode. Caitlin, thank you so much again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having me, Rick.
Hey, if you're an online course creator or an online coach and you're experiencing the same types of things that you heard here today with Caitlin, where you're just working way too much, the business is running you and it's affecting so many super important aspects of your life. And, you know, you've got some success going in the business, but you really want to take things to, you know, you want to scale and optimize this business towards seven figures or maybe multiple seven figures while working less. Then I want to invite you to apply for my Accelerator coaching program. This is what we help you do inside of Accelerator. Accelerator is a one-on-one coaching program, a group coaching program, and also an amazing mastermind of other like-minded online entrepreneurs just like you. Okay, so if you'd like to learn more and apply, it's application only, go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for tuning in today. As always, I super appreciate you. I will see you right back here for the next episode here of the Art of Online Business podcast.
Do you want to avoid the seven biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the seven mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.